The Sleep Number Smart Bed is the best bed for couples, and there's a good reason for that. Only Sleep Number Smart Beds let you choose your ideal comfort and support on your side of the bed. Firmer or softer on either side, Sleep Number does that. Perhaps you want your side cooler, and your partner wants their side warmer. Sleep Number does that too. You choose what's right for you, making it the best bed for the both of you. The Sleep Number Smart Bed will even automatically respond and adjust to your movements to help you sleep comfortably all night long. Your Smart Bed will even learn how you sleep and provide you personalized insights to help you sleep even better. Why choose a Sleep Number Smart Bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. Sleep Number Smart Beds start at $9.99, prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Dearest gentle listener, you are cordially invited to Go Touch Grass's first ever Tea Party Brunch event, taking place Saturday, May 3rd at 11 a.m. at Prince Tea House in the East Village for an afternoon of sipping tea, spilling guts, and generally lamenting the state of the world. This limited ticket event is reserved for the best of Grass Nation's ton and will feature a full brunch with tea, a drag performance, exclusive goodie bags, and a special event curated by their Royal Highnesses, emphasis on the high, Millie Tamarez and Elise Morales, to help you process everything that's happened in 2025 so far in an Instagram-worthy environment you know you'll want to post to Grid. So, grab your besties, wear your florals, and snag your tickets to tea. Ticketing details available at patreon.com/gotouchgrass. Ta-ta!
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamarez.
And this is
Go Touch Grass.
It's a podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can go do literally anything else with your time.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we have a Go Touch Grass Patreon with tons of more weekly content, access to our Discord community, and our spin-off series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
Our latest search history is on Numa Numa Guy. And the Numa Numa video.
Listen, I thought when going in, I'm like, what is going on with this guy? It's just going to be a simple thing. No. It got so deep so fast. There's so many layers.
We talked about just the nature of the early internet. It echoes into today.
Yeah.
We get philosophical.
We get philosophical on like what it was like to go viral when virality wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
In 2004.
And how did it affect the Numa Numa guy?
Wow.
You can answer all of these questions on our Patreon. So yes. Go subscribe over there.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love reviews. We need more of them. But really the best review you can do is to tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, there's this podcast called Go Touch Grass that we love.
And if you sign up for the Patreon, you can hear about Numa Numa Guy, and it's actually really interesting.
You know, tag us in a little story where we're posted. The whole conceit of this show is that we're always online.
We're always online.
So we're gonna see it.
Specifically of places where we're online. 2025 is the year of Go Touch Grass on YouTube. If you're not already subscribed to our YouTube, you know, what are you doing? We can't keep begging you. Every episode we're saying, please subscribe to YouTube.
And people are subscribing.
And people are subscribing, but it's not all of you.
Yeah,
because I am comparing the numbers and it's not all of you. So if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube, go over there, subscribe. The YouTube videos come out every Saturday. You get to see cool visuals, extra stuff that got cut out of the episode, then makes it to the YouTube. It's a different experience. It's a visual experience. Go to the YouTube, sign up, get subscribed.
And we're putting our reels on there, and we do need our positive fans on there because the comments are
YouTube comments
hard.
Are a different space. YouTube comments are a different space, and that's what we'll say.
And speaking of different spaces, if you want to see us live, you got two chances to do that. We still have tickets left for our tea party now happening on May 3rd at 11 a.m. at Prince Tea House in the East Village. I'm so excited. There's people flying in from out of town, taking trains, taking planes, taking automobiles. We got people coming in from California. We have somebody threatening to come from Canada, but she's scared about the thing. Please come. We'll see.
If we haven't gone to war with Canada yet, I think she's coming.
Yes. I'll be in Canada. Listen, I'm going to Canada in April for personal things.
It's a personal exchange.
Who knows if I'll stay? Who knows if I'll stay? And then we have one more opportunity.
Yes, one final bit of housekeeping. If you just can't wait to see us live, you want to see us before the tea party, we're going to be at Y'all Fest April 4th at 9:30 p.m. for a live podcast recording. Tickets for that are available at yesandlaughterlab.com/festival. That's just going to be a classic live podcast episode. We did it last year. It was so much fun, and we'd love to see you again.
Yes.
Now, it's time to get into our episode.
Yes.
We have a very, very special guest
very
in studio
special.
Today. A star. A star of the internet, of TikTok, of screens, small and large.
Yes.
Because I would imagine sometimes people are playing the videos on a large. They say, I want to see this bigger.
Yeah.
I want to see
I'm going to get fucking IMAX
to
play this shit. I'm going to rent a theater.
He's a comedian, content creator, and he's a viral hit maker who you may know as DJ Crazy Time, singer of the 2023 Song of the Summer, Planet of the Bass. It's Kyle Gordon.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. I'm curtsying.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
And you guys will visually be able to see that on the YouTube.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the YouTube.
Welcome to
Thank you. Yeah.
You know, do you have something to say before I get into this question?
Well, I was just scared. I have been on the big screen. My girlfriend's dad really loves YouTube TV. So his preferred medium of, especially when Planet of the Bass was coming out, it'd be like, come in, let me show you.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was, it was, it's really exciting to watch an older gentleman show my stuff to his tennis friends.
Yeah. That's like a different level of vulnerability because there's the level of vulnerability where you're showing a YouTube video to someone and you want them to laugh. And then it's watching someone do that and it's actually your video and you're in it.
That's... And it's guaranteed that no one in the room is going to have any comprehension of what they're watching.
Yeah.
It's 100% guaranteed.
So this guy's who?
Yeah.
It's like, who's this guy?
Like,
is he Russian? What's going on?
Right, exactly. It's like, they don't understand my humor, they don't understand the reference that I'm making.
Yeah.
Like, that particular song is like a parody of 90s, like Eurodance, which to them was like their children's music.
Yeah.
So, exactly. They don't understand the medium in which it's being presented to them.
It's
They're
a
like,
lot.
So this guy's marrying your daughter?
No, exactly.
And he said girlfriend, at least.
I'm saying they're confused.
Yeah.
Now you're
not if he makes his big announcement on the pod today.
On the Go Touch Grass pod.
She's not here.
You want to know something crazy? I wasn't sure. So this is going to come out Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am going to get engaged tomorrow. Yeah. So when this comes out, it'll be public knowledge.
Wow.
But
okay, and that's the energy I was tapping into when I said that.
Yeah, you really, you clocked that.
What if she says no and we have to take it off?
No, this is going to be the best podcast. Are you kidding me?
God.
I'm going to post like, hey guys, some serious news. Yeah. In all black square with just text of like, hey, something happened today. We're going to be pausing.
No, we're going to link it. We need the bump.
Sometimes I will pop in after editing to clarify something. So it'll be like, hey guys, Elise here. Kind of some strange news.
You have a different shirt on directing the camera. Yeah.
Hey, so we've heard from Kyle and it did not go as planned.
Yeah.
Honestly, for your sake, I hope she says
you guys have probably seen the viral Jumbotron video at this point, but she said no to Kyle.
Yeah. I'm going to get engaged tomorrow at the Liberty game and it's going to be a disaster.
Oh my God. Not at the lesbians are throwing basketballs on you.
Lesbians throwing Rotten Tomatoes at me. Oh my God, that would be the best game ever.
Yeah.
Like a failed straight engagement. Like that is just gold.
All the tomatoes they're getting will be jarred to me.
Really?
Not
right. Organic.
Glass. Yeah, exactly. It's just going to be a lot of broken glass.
Mason jars.
Yeah.
Well, this leads perfectly to our first question. Kyle, you're known for your pitch perfect song parodies. You've done country girl boss anthems, 90 British rap, emo, and millennial core hits, just to name a few. How do you decide what genre you want to parody next? And what is your process? And also, do you even have a musical background? Like, what is going on?
What is happening, Kyle? How are you doing it?
The fuck?
How do I pick? I mean, well, so I'm about to come out with my new album. Mm-hmm. And so that's all new songs. And that was the first time I had written material just for the album. But all the stuff on the first album was shit that I'd just been performing live in Brooklyn, like me and a guitar.
Yeah.
So my background is pretty like, you know, I write songs, but it's like, you know, I know like four chords and could kind of, you can if you know four chords, you can kind of put a pop song together.
Yeah.
And so
I was actually just listening to a podcast about Charles Manson, and that was kind of his, that was his songwriting.
I mean, he also getting engaged tomorrow or?
I think he's no longer with us.
Oh, he's dead.
Unfortunately.
He's gone.
So much big news dropping for Billy.
Yeah.
Kyle's getting engaged.
Charles Manson's dead. No.
Charles Manson's dead.
But people, I'm glad you read, people don't give him enough credit for being so funny too. He was hilarious.
There's some funny evil people. We talk once a week about Trump being funny.
One of them's president. One of them's president.
Exactly.
And then there's a very not funny evil person who's also kind of president, but we'll talk about him.
But we'll talk about him.
Interesting. I'm curious. Okay.
It's Elon Musk. It's,
okay. I thought you were gonna be like Turkmenistan.
We're talking about Elon Musk.
No.
Enemy of the pod, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Back to your process.
Yeah.
So you have four chords. You used to play on guitar. So then what happened with this album? Yeah, you got like more like a studio. What's going on?
Yeah. So like, so essentially the first album was like a bunch of songs that I'd just been playing around, me and a guitar. And then I had the idea of like, because they were all genre parodies, mm-hmm. but like I just couldn't afford to make them sound good and have them be fully produced. And then I got a little bit of money to like actually make the album. And I was like, oh, I can turn this into like have the pop punk song sound like a real pop punk song, have the country song sound like a real country song. And so, but all that material was stuff I'd been written and, you know, done over the years. And then this was the first one where it was kind of cool where I hadn't been testing it live in front of comedy audiences. I kind of just put it out there and it's been going well so far. So it was a good like ego boost and confidence builder of like, oh, I can just, you know, like, it was, I could just write these songs and be confident in myself that they're good without having to like test it for 10 years.
No, that is such a different process to go from stuff where you're like, this is the culmination of like all the work I've been doing to this point.
Yeah.
Which I guess is often what a sophomore album is.
Well,
this
that's
is
what I was very worried
album.
About. As a
the
music
first album, the debut album is the culmination.
Yeah.
It's and
like,
the sophomore album is like,
Now I guess I write a bunch of new songs and I definitely don't have the same like amount of time and space to test them out in front of an audience the way you would.
Exactly.
Yeah. So off mic, we were talking because Annie DeRusso, who is an indie artist, she's really great. She does like kind of like grunge, like indie pop. Mm. She was in here and she was talking about her tour with Caleb Heron.
Mm.
She was talking about the difference between touring music and touring comedy. She's not a comedian. She's just purely indie. But you said off mic, you were like, oh my God, music is so much easier than comedy. So I want to hear like what makes you say that and why.
Because she said that comedians have an easier time on tour than musicians, but you emphatically gave us the other opinion. So we have to give you the
mic. And I'm, in all fairness to her, I'm curious to hear her take. But
no, we're starting beef between you and Andy DeRusso
today.
You're
with a Nashville-based indie artist.
Well, no, off mic, I was like, whoever that is, fuck them. Yeah. I don't even, who the fuck is that?
Yeah, fuck her girl anthem.
Yeah, exactly.
Kyle actually had to like really cool down before we started recording. Yeah.
I got here an hour ago, but they needed to give me like 30 minutes of space.
No, your publicist was pissed.
Exactly.
He's gonna kill me.
They took it out on you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know, like, I know.
What did you say to him? Yeah. What did you say to him?
No, it's all my fault.
You didn't read the document we sent about stuff not to say to him?
Yeah. Exactly. Don't bring up any female artist. It was crazy. Do you want to answer the question or do you want to lean into the beat?
It's so many directions to go. But no, I think, I mean, having done comedy much, much longer than, like, because now I do tour with a band and it's more like, long story short, I used to think of my show as like a comedy show with music.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think of it as like a funny concert in that it's like standing room, music venues, band, whereas it used to be like comedy clubs, seated, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But music is way easier because if you're doing comedy, you know every second if what you're trying to accomplish is failing because they're not laughing.
Mm.
Like when I go to a show, like a musician will come like, oh, I didn't have a good set. Like, I was like, According to who? Everyone was just sort of swaying back and forth quietly. Like, or like, yeah, they were jumping up and down. Like, the metric of success is like, yeah, just kind of play it how you did it on the record. Like, like, no one, unless you're like a diehard obsessive music fan, mm-hmm. which there aren't that many who are like,
can hear the nuances between a live performance.
Yeah. Like, you're kind of just like the bare minimum of success for a musician, I think, is much it's easier to do fine.
No, I hear what you're saying so much, because it is also like there's a collective experience too, where like if you are a comedian and you're doing bad and no one's laughing, also it's not just that you can tell. Everyone can tell.
Yeah.
Everyone is like, this is bombing. We can all tell. Whereas if it's like, you know, DJ Crazy Times is out here, the music is bumping. If you're not as aware or tuned into like the reaction of the whole. Probably.
DJs exist. They just press play. Like,
and like people, even if they don't love every song, like it's the vibe, it's the environment. I will say I did a show on Friday and somebody was like, I was just talking with somebody, like another comic, and they're like, oh, I hate when comedians are like, say a joke and it bombs, and it's like, oh, I guess you guys didn't like that one, and people laugh. But I'm also like, I feel like audiences don't remember to laugh out loud, like that they're supposed to do that. Like that if they don't laugh, because sometimes people are like, huh, that was funny. And it's like, no, we're gonna actually need to hear you react like verbally, whatever. And I also feel like sometimes like shows will remind people like, hey, if you like something, audibly laugh so that the people on stage don't feel fucking crazy. So.
Yeah, I host an open mic that's like for characters or whatever. And when I'm doing like my little spiel at the beginning of the mic, I literally am like, we're all going to practice laughing really loud because we're all very, you know, thinking about our set for sure, but like you have to laugh for other people or this is going to be so awkward and suck so much. I promise you it's way worse if none of you fucking laugh.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's gotten worse since like COVID.
I think so too. Like, people don't know how to act in shows and shit.
And they just consume like, you know, they are like, they like their, your favorite video, the funniest video.
Yeah.
The first time you saw it, you were like,
yeah, you were just
that
like,
was the,
it like, was a completely internal feeling of like, very good.
Yeah.
I like
that was awesome.
I like it.
And the frequency in which people consume funny content, I don't think the mass doesn't understand how long it takes to actually be good at something, how long it takes to work on something, like the output, the vulnerability involved with making a joke that you're just seeing the end product.
Yeah.
So it's just a really interesting time for live performance.
Yeah.
Okay, that segues perfectly into our last question for you about you. We will ask you other questions throughout the rest of the recording,
topic,
but this
so
is the
please.
Last time we're going to ask you about you.
Right.
With Planet of the Bass, which went so, so crazy viral. Hands up, oftentimes when we have someone on the pod who's like gone very viral in that way, when you put it out, like, did you know, were you like, this is gonna go far? Because it's not like it was your first video. You'd been making content for a long time. You'd had stuff go viral before. But like, what, you know, did you have a feeling that it was gonna, you were gonna end up with the Jonas Brothers?
No, definitely. So yes.
Also, that video is so funny of you performing with the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, you want to talk about a bunch, like, it's 20,000 Jonas Brothers fans who are like, why is this short Estonian man yelling at me? Like, who the fuck is this guy?
They say, like, this is a comedy parody?
No. They were just like, welcome to the stage. Also, like, people forget, the song wasn't even out. Like, that song came out that day. So, like, the video, like, the clip was out, but the whole song hadn't even come out yet. So, like, it was, no, they just were like, So because the Jonas Brothers, so I could start with that.
Yes.
Yeah. Sort of how, and then I'll go back to how it all started. But like, yeah, with the Jonas Brothers thing, we like had to push up the release date because everyone was like so hyped about the video coming out. So I literally shot the music video and then it was going to come out 2 days later. But when I'm flying back, they hit, literally Nick Jonas was like, oh, do you want to come tonight?
Did he slide into the DMs?
He slid into the DMs. Yeah.
Wow, you're living every millennial fantasy of having Nick Jonas DM you to fly you out.
And I did. I was like.
And you put out too?
Well, yeah. Yo, 100%.
He's getting engaged.
Yeah. Well, that'll be the caveat. I was like, Nick does have dibs.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, and most women will respect.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. But yeah, like, anyways, long story short, I was supposed to do.
Flew out by Nick Jonas. Yeah.
Well, no, like because I was coming back from shooting the video and I wasn't able to the first night, which was supposed to be at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, shit.
And they replaced me with Jimmy Fallon.
Take that, Jimmy.
Yeah. And
he
just did a karaoke version of Mr. Brightside.
Wow. Oh. Imagine if he did a karaoke version of Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes.
And you're like, my song hasn't been released.
Yeah. They never had me. They were like, yeah, we'll just get Jimmy Fallon.
We just actually got Jimmy Fallon to do it. Yeah.
So did you know it was going to go viral?
Well, not like that. Yeah, like, I mean, so it was the first, because it was literally the first clip of the promo, essentially, for the song release.
Yeah.
And I had never really, like, released music like that. So I had done that character, DJ Crazy Times, actually, like, before and done some videos that were, like, popular, but not even close to my most popular video. Yeah. So I was like, oh, this is, I liked the song. I thought it was all good, but I didn't think it would be like that.
It was what we needed. It really hit people's hearts.
So viral. People loved it. And like, I'm sure you got crazy. I'm sure Nick Jonas wasn't the only crazy DM you got.
Yeah. What a crazy. It was such a crazy time, too, because I don't know how much you followed the whole arc of it. But like the original promo concept was I filmed the video with three different actresses like lip syncing.
Yeah. Oh, I remember.
And then the second one, yeah, there was drama. So the whole drama with that was like in sort of keeping with the parody of like the 90s Eurodance. Like, oh, it was a thing that they would do of like, especially these European groups, they just pump out all these songs and then they would have like literally models just lip sync in the video. Pump up the jam. Like that's a model in the video and you know, or whatever. So I was like, oh, that'll be funny. I'll do that. And that'll be a good way to promo it. And then the first one blew up so much.
Yeah.
Also, she's not singing it. Like, she's lip syncing it, too.
I know. And the other girl who sung it was like, that's not me. I saw that, too.
Right. So they...
And her name is Miss Biljana Electronica, correct? I just want to make sure that we're referring to her by name.
Right, yes.
Miss Biljana.
Yeah. And then the second actress got a lot of backlash because they were like, we missed the first one. But I brought her back for the music video. But, like... The navigating that, because also people don't, I don't know if I've said this, like in the official music video, I shot it in Ohio and we literally just got a local Ohio actress to be in the official music video. And then we had to be like, no, we have to get the first one back or I will be like drawn in quarters.
Yeah, people are actually incredibly attached to the original woman in a way that I did not anticipate.
Wow.
Which, so like I had filmed all the clips like before the first video even came out. But to tell you how like I did not expect it to go as big as it did, like that was a testament of like I sort of was tweaking everything as we were, you know, as it was coming out.
Well, yeah, I remember at the time seeing people debating and saying what you were saying, be like, it's actually part of the parody for him to switch the women out because actually in this genre, the woman would change every time. And then other people are like, I actually think that it's anti-woman for him to switch. He's switching out women. He thinks that the Biljanas are interchangeable, but they're not interchangeable. And every woman is a special snowflake. And it's like, I was like, wow, you could never have anticipated that.
No, I could not have anticipated that. Well, because also it's very much, you want to talk about internet of it all. Like I had like, you know, 1,000 followers on Twitter and this thing blew up so big on Twitter, which I just put it on there like fuck it, but I thought it would be on TikTok. And so the idea of doing multiple videos to promote a song on TikTok is very normal.
Yeah.
But like on Twitter, they were like, this video is sacrosanct.
Yeah.
And so like, because on TikTok, you use the same sound over and over.
Yeah,
so I
yeah,
just needed a bunch of stuff like with the sound. But on Twitter, that's why I think it like, because I think like it wouldn't have, if it had just been a TikTok thing, I don't think people don't pay that close attention.
Yeah, but yeah. Twitter is Twitter.
And
like so many of our guests have like had instances where something that was intended for TikTok made it to Twitter and ruined their lives.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's very dangerous to get cross-posted to Twitter. Speaking of Twitter,
yes,
we're going to get into our episode now, but first we're going to start with a game. This is like a classic game of Go Touch Grass don't always get to play. This game is called What Are They Talking About?
Yes.
And it is a game where Millie has pulled a tweet.
Yes.
It's a reply of some kind.
Yes.
And we're going to have to try to figure out what they could possibly be talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
So no context. I will say usually our What Are They Talking About are outsized responses to something that doesn't make sense. But I will say this is an appropriate response.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Go to the next slide. Just one slide over. Connor. So this is called the tweet is from at Yucky Tom. And the
shout
out to old Tom at Yucky Tom. And it says, big quote, we don't call women losers enough moment. So this is very recent. So I want you guys think about the times that we are having in this country and think about what would prompt someone to reply that we are not calling to bring attention to the fact that we don't call women losers enough.
Enough.
Think about something that maybe
a woman
could be doing.
That's loserish.
That's loserish. And made her kind of the main character of Twitter for a day.
Ooh.
I'm wondering if it's that press secretary, the girl who wears the big cross. Carolyn Leavitt.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's a good guess.
That would be a slam dunk.
Ma'am.
Okay, Kyle, what's your guess?
My instinct, not to get internet-y of it, is the woman who hit the other woman with the baton.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That's literally a loser.
Yeah, like in every sense, she lost all across the board. Yeah. That's losing in the purest sense.
In the track and field thing, these girls were running. This other girl clearly hits her in the back of the head, but then is crying to the thing like, oh, guys, I was tripping and it was an accident.
Yeah.
Guys, we have to put a pin in track and field baton discourse, but the video is crazy.
Yeah.
The video is crazy.
It's kind of undeniable that she hit that lady.
It's like cartoonish. It's like Looney Tunes, like, clonked.
Yeah.
You do kind of expect it, to be like,
a big lump to grow out of the top of her head.
Yeah. Well, so your guess was the press secretary. Your guess was the track and field. Both of you are wrong.
Okay.
Both of you are wrong. The actual tweet is from at SpaceX Jackie, who says, brought fresh donuts to at Tesla employees across Austin today to show support and thank them for their dedication and hard work. And she this is a woman who brought donuts for the Tesla employees, and she tagged Tesla, Silicon Valley, and also at Austin Tesla owners Austin Club official account. So it's an account for people who own Teslas in Austin. So this is what prompted, of course, the tweet got 9.8 million views and she got roasted.
Well, she's actually props to her because she's invented a brand new way to cross the picket line. That's incredible. Like, it's like, there's no strike going on, but it's like, you had to walk, because people are picketing right now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So she had to walk through with a box of donuts.
And say thank you for your support.
Your service.
And the service is owning a Tesla.
It's working at the Tesla place.
I'm like, is this also in response to like that people have been like vandalizing Cybertrucks or whatever?
People are vandalizing Teslas. People are pissed because Elon Musk and his band of bandits, which we will get back to today.
We'll be talking Doge
Doge a little bit. They are laying people off, and a great way to show, kind of protest that is by, picketing Tesla dealerships. And Miss Jackie, SpaceX Jackie, is saying, here's some donuts. So the internet said, you know what? We don't call women losers anymore.
Jackie.
You guys made some really...
Yeah, fuck yeah. We don't do that.
You called...
Hell yeah, brother.
You called Danny DeRusso a loser. Yeah, you don't even...
We had to take out all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
That was really
I started this show with beef against women.
Okay,
but that was a good guess, and that was our game.
That was a great game.
Yeah.
And speaking of things that you started.
Yes.
For today's discourse. So the discourse is our segment where we talk about something that everybody's chatting about online, something that's trending, a big viral topic. And for the first time in Go Touch Grass history, mm-hmm. Kyle, you're here to make history. What's that? the Debbie, that fucking Disney girl who, have you seen that meme? Oh my God.
Describe the meme, Alicia.
It's that girl, Debbie something from Debbie Ryan. And she says, I walked into the CEO of Disney's office and I said, let's make history. And I did.
My one thing was I went into the Disney Channel building and I sat down with the president of Disney Channel and I said, I want to make history. And that's what this is.
That's what I'm thinking. That's beautiful. You walking into Go Trash. It took us a second to get there,
that's
but that's you.
That's you, and you know what? Women with ADHD.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back. It took some time to get there, but it's
not all women are losers, yeah.
It's a very funny meme.
Not all women are losers.
We're not losers, right?
Okay. So, what I'm trying to articulate now is that today, for the very first time in Go Touch Grass history, we are talking about a discourse that our guest was integral in creating.
Yes.
We are talking about the millennial burger joint trend.
Yes.
Wow.
I was going to be like the BBL discourse.
Talking about...
I was more tangential in that.
Yeah. Everyone was talking about Kyle's BBL.
That was crazy to 2023 era, Kyle. Yeah. Was that BBL?
But
the publicist made us cut it out.
Yeah. That was what was so great about Planet of the Base. People kind of forgot about my whole BBL.
Well, the base, the ass, and whatever. They didn't get the... People don't get the subliminal message. Anyway, back to millennial burger.
The millennial burger. I've called it, heard it called the millennial burger joint trend, millennial burger place, millennial burger restaurant. Anyway, before we get into it, I know that we're millennials. I did Google your age, but how do you identify
you
as a millennial
out?
As well?
Or are you going to come out on the gonna... class?
Well, I identify as 14, but I'm very solidly millennial.
Okay,
I'm 32
great.
Years old.
Yeah. So, okay, we are all coming at this from a place of being millennials.
Yes.
Who have eaten at these burger joints.
Yeah.
So, okay. Kyle, I know you've seen these videos because you're a big part of them, but Millie, have you seen these videos?
Is it like just, because I'm like, people are just using one of Kyle's song parodies as a sound?
Yes.
Over videos of restaurants? I'm like,
it's videos of, it's so, okay, you have released a song called It's You're Not We Are Young.
Yeah,
because that's a parody of We Are Young by Fun.
So, and also the first line in the sound is me saying we are young. But then the chorus is We Will Never Die.
We are young. There's a fire in our soul. We go big or go home together. We are young.
That's right.
We're black and we're white, but we all will be tonight. We will never die.
So it's a parody of the like boom clap millennial anthems where people are. How would you describe that genre?
Well, before it became associated, which is so the millennial burger trend, which definitely like took off on its own.
Yeah.
I always called it like millennial Kohl's music. So if you were like shopping or like in a Carnival Cruise ad from like 2011. So it's very, like relentlessly optimistic and sort of that's why I call it like We Will Never Die. It's like, and it always had the very chanty chorus like
CVS core, like all that stuff.
There is like always just like a stomping and a clapping. And in the videos that you've made for it, you're in like such perfect millennial core attire, which is like the wide brim hat and like the
14
little
14 different necklaces.
Like, like youth pastor.
Yeah. That's a really good, like, because it's so funny that like, as soon as that sort of style of music left like the mainstream popularity, it was immediately co-opted by like Christian megachurch.
Yeah.
People, yeah. You know, like cool youth pastor.
Yeah, exactly.
For, like, church. I mean, like Hillsong.
With everybody.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Hillsong
Skinny
Church.
Jean.
Just Hillsong, like Hillsong
big
church,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, millennial burger joint trend is like, it's a TikTok trend that was very specifically tied to the release of your song because 99.9% of them use the sound from your song. And we'll talk about the, it's basically people parodying these kind of classically millennial restaurants where it's like super industrial decor, using words like kick ass a lot in the menu. It's always like founded by two guys with a crazy dream to change the way burgers are done in this country.
Yeah.
Really uncomfortable chairs.
Yeah.
Burgers are all $17.
Yeah.
Calling appetizers shareables.
Mm.
That type of stuff. So it's like
fries in the metal basket.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of truffle oils
being used.
Truffle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I immediately recognize like what one of these restaurants is when I hear about the trend.
Yeah. I guess I'm just like, but that's just a restaurant.
Well, that's
like,
yeah. I want to go on the record and say I like,
yes.
I am very guilty of like a bougie little burger place, like 100%. And I also feel bad for restaurants because in general, let alone any brick and mortar store, because it's like, it's not, you can't really keep up with the trends. Like,
no,
it's
going
to cost you a gajillion dollars to redo the decor. So once you build it, you're locked
into
2011 for a long
time.
Yeah.
I mean, it totally is. Again, I'll fuck up a basket of truffle fries. Let me tell you.
I love truffle.
I don't think it's about not loving it, but it is a very specific aesthetic of restaurant that came out between like 2010 and 2014. There were a lot of these that opened. And then, it's like, you can't completely revamp your restaurant because TikTok has decided it's like not cool.
I'm like, so where are these people eating? And it's so interesting because I guess before this trend, I could easily articulate like what we were describing of like, Imagine Dragons, boom, clap, Christian pastor aesthetic music kind of shit. But I would have never thought to associate that with a restaurant and eating establishment. And like, as we're talking about food trends, what's happening right now in cuisine in America, especially the nicer places in New York, is like elevated, like mozzarella sticks or like really like, what is it? Cornerstone. The Cornerstone is like the nicest restaurant, impossible to get reservations. Like one of their most like popular things is a pizza rolls like that are like fucking $25 or something because they're made with blah, blah, blah. So it's like elevated, like kind of junk food things.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting that has come around to like, millennial like burger place core. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to watch two quick examples of a millennial burger joint restaurant. Both of them feature your song. So
you can't sue us.
Yeah. This is consent for us to play your song.
I'm not going to sue us. You just owe me for the publishing.
Maestro Burger. My name's Zach. What can I get you guys started with today? Oh, burger section. Yeah. So there's no burger section on the menu. You actually got to look under handhelds. So yeah, right there. Handhelds. Can I turn this off? No, this is Cody Redwing and the Broken Hearts, man. This is music. Yeah. So the origin of this place, if you look on the wall over there, that black and white photo, that's Fred and Bob Dunster. They're just two guys with a dream that came in here and made that dream a reality to make the best burger in the world. Alrighty, there's your food. You didn't order any fries. No, the burgers are just by themselves. The fries are a separate part of the menu for $8 more. I can go put an order, though, if you want.
After running two failed bicycle startups, my brother Bryce and I decided that inheriting the storefront from our predatory landlord grandfather would be the perfect opportunity to achieve our dream of being restaurateurs. But it wasn't all an easy road for us Columbia grads. There were a lot of haters and doubters along the way saying things like, "You gentlemen have never cooked for yourselves or anyone else in your life. What makes you think you're qualified to run a restaurant?" Or, "You're both functioning alcoholics. Is it really a good idea for you to be running a bar?" And to that we said, "You don't understand the vision. The burgers are $32, but the memories are priceless."
And I will shout out both creators. The first video was by @BakoGlend123, and the second was by @PossumGirl. Shout out.
Okay.
@PossumGirl. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, we know what these restaurants are. They're, and I feel like the main points of clowning on them are, like, that vibe of, like, we do things a little differently yes. around here, which I do think is a millennial restaurant trend. And I think also the verbiage of the millennial restaurant, which is, like, trying to have this cool edge to it that's trying so hard it almost makes it, like, just write burgers. Don't write handhelds.
Who are you fooling, especially after all this time? Yeah, that's one of the things I find funniest about anything, but this, they did, like, clock onto something that is so funny. It's like the idea that, especially when it's like two bros opening a restaurant, yeah. they're like, there is this like subtext of like, holy shit, I just thought of something that a thousand other people have thought of. Like, you're not, wait, pause. You know, like, we're going to have, And I like the first one because one of the most egregious things about that type of restaurant, charging extra for fries right. is a crime.
Yes.
It's
and
a
not
crime.
Including it with the burger.
Yeah, that's a
fuck
crime.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Like, I get if there's upgrades to the fries, whatever. But if I'm ordering a burger, I am expecting to receive fries.
You know what I fucking hate is when you go somewhere and there's an expensive ass burger or sandwich and they give you fucking potato chips with the fucking
sandwich. Yeah.
Like, fuck you. And no fries, bitch.
And potato chips are soggy because some of the burger juice has gotten on some of the potato chips.
Yeah.
No fucking fuck.
So, Millie, you asked earlier, like, where are these people eating if not the Millennial Burger Restaurant? They are eating at the Millennial Burger Restaurant because a lot of these videos are actually just taking the sound of your song and taking pictures of, it's like people using your song and then taking videos of themselves at the Millennial Burger Restaurant itself and being like, so this is all the same video of just a guy who went to this burger place and like took pictures of it. Again, fries and drink are separate. And this has
A combo drink. Okay, fries and drink. And it's only $5 more. Okay, fine.
But this has 8 million views.
That's crazy.
And it's just your sound plus this, which is wild. So people are, I mean, there's like a skit version of the trend. And then there's also just literally people who are at one of these restaurants taking videos of it and showing how it fits in with like the trend itself.
Yeah, I struggle with this because I feel so like defensive about millennial stuff because sometimes it's just like arbitrary different. Like we talk about this all the time. I never, when I was coming up, thought about how Gen X dresses, how it's different, how their like little slang words like are differentiating and how we're cool and how whatever. Like, I feel like the nuances of trends just happen and evolve naturally. And like, you might get clowned for wearing something like outdated, but it wasn't so much ascribed to this generation versus this generation as a way where like Gen Z, like, has this obsession with calling things out that are millennial and this is millennial and like derogatory in a way that bothers me where I'm like, hold the fuck on. I'm only like 5 years older than you. And also like, I am objectively cooler than you in every way. Why do you keep bringing up like, oh, the millennial, I don't know. And then I'm like, it's concerning because there is all this thing about like millennial burger joint. And I see that and I get it, but I'm also like, what's the Gen Z restaurant? What's the boomer? Like, are these really definable things? Can you just, I don't know.
But they'll have their time.
They'll have their time.
They'll have their time.
That's true.
It's 2025. We'll sit and wait. Look, I'm contributing to it. So,
you were making fun of us, a clear aesthetic that we have. Like, now people are wearing the big pants. Now it's not the big hat. It's the big pants. The pants are big. The hats are small. The glasses are small.
But it always goes in. But that's the thing I say, too. It's like right now in 2025, like everything from 10 to 15 years ago seems dorky just in the way that trends go. Like disco music. There was nothing less cool in 1987 because that was like 10 years. And then just give it 10 more years. Disco is, who doesn't fucking love disco? We all love disco.
Like, that's so true where it's like 10 years ago is uncool, outdated, blah. Yeah. 20 years ago is That's like back cute. In style, really cool.
Millennial burgers will have burger joints will have a revitalization okay. yeah. in 10 years.
Oh, and wow. I see TikToks all the time that are like videos of people in high school in 2005, which literally was when I was in high school, yeah. and they'll be like, oh man, to be in high school in 2005. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, yeah, 20 years is cool, 10 years is considered not cool, and I think that's just normal.
Yeah,
I will say, as far as like the Gen Z versus millennial wars online go, millennial burger restaurant, I'm like, they're onto something. This is a very fun, like, this is a real aesthetic that did come about,
yes,
from us getting in, becoming restaurateurs.
Yeah,
and it is a very funny and specific thing of that, yeah, that attitude of like, I'm sorry, did you mean to order the kick-ass burger with extra sauce? I'm like, okay, like, let's relax. I don't think that Gen Z has the startup capital, have their own restaurants yet.
Well, also, I'm like, this, the you know, the second comedian or the second artist or whatever made a thing of like, oh yeah, we're two Columbia grads, babe. They're revoking degrees. It's a fucking flex to actually have graduated from Columbia. They're snatching those things back. Yeah, Gen Z will have no Columbia graduates at this rate.
They'll be very nostalgic for it because it won't exist anymore.
Exactly, bitch. Yeah. So put some respect on millennials. That's all I'm saying.
The millennial degree trend. Which
yeah.
Is-
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, we're the only people who know how to rotate a PDF at all.
A master's is going to be so vintage.
Well,
the millennial being able to read trend. Sorry.
I'm just saying the pants are big, but the opinions very small.
But one thing I will say though, like, because I laughed at this because number one, I think maybe because it like comes from your song. To me, it feels more like intermillennial jesting. Like obviously Gen Z is making fun of the millennial burger restaurant as well. It's a TikTok trend. But I feel like I've seen a lot of people who are, I'm like, well, that's also just another millennial who's like, no, yeah, you clocked us good on that one.
Yeah.
The Gen Z versus millennial TikTok thing that I can't fucking stand is when someone's like meeting a millennial and then they talk in like BuzzFeed internet
speed. Yes.
And I'm like, we never talked like that. That was only for typing. Only for typing.
Yeah, it's SEO, bitch. You don't even know what SEO is. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's like when people complain about like when you look up a recipe online and it has like, you know, like the bullshit before, like, they're not just doing that for no reason.
Yeah.
It's for like all the SEO bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
You cannot post a restaurant. It will not show up on Google if you don't have that.
Yes, exactly.
You have to have it.
Like, yes.
You have
to know you're going to scroll through it. They just need it for SEO. Yeah.
Now they'll even have the little thing that you just hit jump to recipe.
Exactly, bitch.
Yeah.
So stop complaining.
Yeah.
Okay?
Let these little people who are sharing their stuff, having their little website of recipes, get their traffic.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? But yeah, I feel millennial burger restaurant, I genuinely am like, okay, this one's funny. This one can stay.
Yeah.
Millennial, the one where it's like, oh, my puppers and my doggos. I'm like, no one ever said that.
Yeah.
I'm like, sometimes it feels like it's an impression of a YouTuber specifically.
Yes,
too.
That's what it is.
The cadence is like, I'm like, oh, you associate millennials with just being YouTubers because you were watching us on YouTube. And that's a very specific way of speaking. We weren't doing that with each other out and about in the world. Yeah.
I'm just saying this is my message to people of all generations. Being young is not a flex. I'm just saying. I went to the suburbs a few weeks ago. Somebody came up to me and was like, they had an inside joke that they were the youngest person in their group, you know, and they're Gen Z. And they're like, well, you guys are so old. And I'm just like, bitch, you live in the suburbs and you're fucking corny. And I don't know you. Like, it's not a flex. You will be old one day, hopefully, if everything goes well. If you are blessed in life, you will be in this position one day.
Yeah.
So shut your ass up. But should the millennial be... Of course, it's roasted, but I'm just like... Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but But it's just the inevitable, like... But when you were young, didn't you feel like... You were like, God, I'm going to be young forever. Mm-hmm. And all those old people, it's just... It's the cycle of life.
Yeah.
It's so funny also to look back on the aesthetic of this time period, like 2010, which I feel like, probably all of these restaurants were founded in like 2011. Mm-hmm. And then like the aesthetic in your music video. And remembering being in that time and not even realizing that there was truly such a look to what we're doing. Like, you need 10 years to look back and be like, oh, my God, why were we all wearing, like, industrial, like, hats? And, like, what was this weird, like, ripped, torn safety pin? The indie sleaze of it all is
But people like indie sleaze.
Yeah. Indie sleaze is coming back now.
But that's the thing is that, you know, You don't know in the moment which of the, I mean, you can sort of have a hunch, but like, you don't know which of the subcultures that are percolating are going to be the ones that people resonate with 10 years or 20 years, or the ones that are going to be dorky, like, you know?
Yeah, what becomes the thing that's like definitive of that time in a side eye way, and what is like, oh no, that's actually cool. Let's bring that back. Let's bring twee back.
But the thing is, there'll always be people like who bring back different subgenres at all times. So
yeah, fashion is cyclical, but all right. So any final thoughts on the millennial burger trend before we go on to Polititiktok, our next segment?
Well, if it goes out of style, I'm excited to see it have a resurgent, a resurgence in 10 years.
Again, in 10 years, we'll make fun of the millennial burger restaurant again.
I feel like, Kyle, you got to make a chain of millennial burger restaurants.
I know.
I got to cash in quick.
That play your songs.
Wow. You should
That sounds like a hell.
Almost like a millennial Dave and Buster's type situation where you can go to a restaurant and pretend it's 2011 again.
It will be a thing, I promise you. Do it now. Start planning now where people can get little tattoos on their index finger.
Of a mustache.
It will pop off.
Yeah, that would actually... Business opportunity for you. When the tour is done. When the tour is done.
You guys get a finder's fee.
Thank you. We will be coming for you for that. Millie, are you ready for our next segment?
Yes. So our next segment is Polititiktok. And it is the segment of our show where the internet meets politics, you know,
as it so often does,
everything is political. So a few weeks ago, we talked about a group of dorks that run Doge, and they're like, we focused on seven of these guys who are the between the ages of 19 to 25, and they're nerds who have been responsible for laying off thousands of seasoned government employees. We went through their social media things, found out one of them used AI to decode a scroll from Mount Vesuvius.
He actually did one cool thing, and I'm like, you should have actually just kept doing
the papyrus.
Yeah, I'm like, you should actually just keep like decoding papyruses and stuff.
Yeah,
that's
but
cool.
Everyone else did a bunch of racist shit. So that was what. But we have a new Doge dork that just dropped. And this time, ladies, she's one of us.
Woo! Women in STEM!
Women in STEM.
Women can be losers, too.
Her name is McLaureen Pinover.
McLaureen?
Wow.
And remember what I said. I said white people, they're the ones with the crazy names now. They took that and ran with that.
It's canon.
McLaureen?
McLaureen Pinover. And oh boy.
That rules. Yeah.
That truly sounds like one of the names you come up with for like the fake artist. Like the Girl Boss Country song. It's like McLaureen.
I could never. I mean, it's flawless.
It's flawless. And oh boy, is her social media something. This CNN article, which busted out this, broke this news, roasted her ass. So I'll just read this excerpt. As the Office of Personnel Management oversaw the layoffs of thousands of federal workers and pressed others to justify their positions, the agency's chief spokesperson repeatedly used her office for a side hustle. Aspiring Instagram fashion influencer. Yes, guys. As some of our hardworking federal employees that make sure people have Social Security, make sure that food's being inspected, all of those really important government jobs, as they're being laid off,
air traffic controllers.
People in the as they're being laid off, the person doing the laying off is posting fit pics on her Instagram. In at least a dozen videos filmed in the Office of Personnel Management office.
Okay.
Political appointee McLaurin Pinover modeled her outfit choices for the day while directing followers from her Instagram account to a website that could earn her commissions on clothing sales. On the same day, so what they did was they tracked and found the post, because she only had 800 followers, right? Mm. But they tracked and found that, like, the same day, the OPM office sent a government-wide memo pressing federal officials to identify barriers they face to work and, quote, to swiftly terminate poor-performing employees. McLaurin Pinover posted a video blowing a kiss to the camera with the caption, work look. And the hashtag, this is the worst, hashtag DC influencer.
No, I can't imagine a darker place than the hashtag DC influencer. Influencer. Oh, I'm sure that we're going to see her looks. But is she giving office siren?
No,
or?
Bitch. She's giving office handmade. it's corny as fuck. Honestly, it's kind of offensive. Her Instagram account linked to a site where viewers could buy the $475 skirt she wore in the video. So she's overseeing people firing. The day that they're like, you guys need to justify your job or you're going to fucking lose it, she's blowing a kiss and selling her $475 skirt. Some people said her videos could violate the rules that prohibit use of government property for personal benefit as she was using a website that pays content creators.
Unfortunately, I just don't actually think there are rules anymore. I'm sure it does violate the rules.
There aren't rules for Trump, but there are rules for McLaurin Pinover. McLaurin Pinover.
She hasn't gotten far enough up the ladder to where there are no rules.
For yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah. You have to be really high because there is rules for Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz didn't make it.
There were like two rules.
There are two rules. And Matt Gaetz didn't make it. Yeah. The rules are you can't get your homeboy to get hookers on Backpay. What was it?
Venmo.
No.
Venmo.
What was the arrangement? And yeah, Venmo.
But they Venmo'd them.
And Venmo, he was buying Molly on Venmo. and paying for underage
activity.
Sex work. Activity. But anyway, so you can't do that and you can't use your government job. She was a Trump appointee, a Trump administration person. She did not answer to the list of questions asked, but she did delete her Instagram account within minutes of getting emailed from CNN.
That's efficient.
Mm-hmm. On Instagram, where she had about 800 followers. Again, 800 CNN is so shady. They're like, she was doing this for 800 followers.
I know, it's like, I don't want to be one of those people where it's like followers matter, but it is. It is very funny to be doing this for sub 1,000.
And, okay, followers, whatever, but she did call herself an influencer.
Yes.
You know, like.
Well, this is, like, again, another shady thing. On Instagram, where she had about 800 followers, Pinover's posts were adorned with hashtags like hashtag DC style and DC influencer and soundtrack with hits like Sabrina Carpenter's Busy Woman. She had posted as recently as last Tuesday when she uploaded a video showing herself typing on her office computer. Her account didn't say she was a federal employee. But again, several of the Instagram videos were from her office and they were posted during business hours, according to a review of code embedded in the social media website.
I do love a video of someone typing that's supposed to, like, make you believe that they work really hard at their job. And it's literally just them like, I'm at my computer. And it's probably just that fucking thing from Life Size with Tyra Banks, where she's on the computer just typing random letters.
Yes, yes, yes. Or the, what's the Nelly video where Kelly Rowland is typing on Excel?
She didn't even know what Microsoft Excel was.
Yeah, she texts him into Excel. it's literally that. Yeah. It's just like gobbledygook.
So again, the day that, OPM fired 20 people, she posted the video of her twirling. February 13th, they fired 20 people and then they found a video of her that she was like twirling around and smiling.
Typing in the computer.
And they asked someone how they felt about it. And they said, You know, the communications team worked their butt offs to support other agencies and the workforce. To post that video the very day your entire team is getting laid off is ridiculous. While her team is getting axed, she's twirling around in her office. I thought that was funny. I'll just read these last two little bits, and then we'll look at two of the outfits.
Of course.
Pinover also posted a video on February 28th, the day that OPM sent out a second government-wide email asking federal employees to summarize their work. Administrations like Musk have described those emails as a broader effort to root out employees who were not using their time efficiently. Quote, pretending to work while taking money from taxpayers is no longer acceptable. Musk posted. And it was just like the irony of it.
I know. It's like, this is someone who is literally filming videos where she is pretending to work.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
So the worst offense is that, like, the outfits go from fine to just trash. And you know already me, like, I already am offended when skinny people can't dress, when skinny people with money can't dress. But this, so let's go look at one of the outfits.
And everyone online, if you go to the Go Touch Grass Instagram, I'm obviously going to post a bunch of these.
Okay. And this is the $475 skirt. So
it's like a purple peasant skirt. We've got a flowy ensemble. I mean, it's not a bad outfit to wear to work.
I think it's bad. Or to wear to work. What the fuck is this top?
She's going for flowy. She's going
for... It's flowy and cropped. I hate it.
Yeah, probably it'll be a good judge if I'm like, yeah, it looks pretty good to me. Like, that's probably trash. Yeah.
I'm just like, it's not a fit, but it's not something like if I saw someone come to work like that, I would just be like, huh.
Yeah, okay, I'll say this. It's a fine outfit for a regular woman to wear to work. It is not an influencer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
For a woman who is firing thousands of people. Yeah.
The context is crucial.
Yes, yeah. The context is crucial. And then I guess the next slide, we can't really see the outfit in this one, but it's just, again, it's a lot of long skirts. It's a lot of layers. It's very conservative outfits, but she's wearing, like, she's adorned. She's doing her makeup, all this stuff. And again, it's just giving normal woman. It's not giving.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not giving influencer use my affiliate link page.
Right. It's like the one we're looking at right now is a gray, it looks like gray skirt, gray sweater, and then a little tied around like cream sweater. It's just, I mean, again, if I saw a woman at the office wearing these outfits, I wouldn't be like, her outfit looks bad. I would just be like, yep, lady at her desk.
But I wouldn't ask her what she's wearing either, which is the whole point. The whole point of being, I guess what's offensive to me is that the whole point of being an influencer is that you're supposed to have a lifestyle and it's supposed to be aspirational, which means that people look at you and think, wow, I want to wear that. I want to look like that. And I'm just like, this is awful. Even for conservative, because everyone knows I'm a hoe. Like, I'm always showing skin. I'm always wearing whatever. So it's just not my style. But I'm like, there are Muslim girls. There are conservative women that have some kind of pizzazz and style. This bitch is not one of it. And she's firing everybody. Fuck her.
Yeah. No, I'll absolutely fuck her.
Yeah.
So, also, it's proving like, there's no way you are better than all of the people that just got fired.
Exactly. To be sending out emails, it's like, you have to say five things you did today. And it's like, what's five things you did today? You're filming Get Ready With Me's in your office, and they're not even very good.
It's so aggressively mediocre.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing is, I feel like what you said is perfect. It's giving normal woman. Like, why are we doing this?
It's giving normal woman. You're not adding any pizzazz. You're not adding even a little bit of color or something. Yeah. That's interesting. How to dress interesting and work in... Shut up.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out
of
here.
I'm not even looking at like classic pieces where it's like, this is super well tailored. Like, this is a really nice whatever. It's just literally like a lady in a sweater.
No. Yeah. And yeah, the Dia Prada posted like multiple of her outfits. Mm-hmm. They're all little videos, which were hard to share on here because I didn't want to watch her videos. And her Instagram is down. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So that's TikTok.
Wow.
And finally, to keep it going on women who should delete their whole internet presence.
The theme today really is we don't call women losers.
Losers big enough. It's a big women aren't called. We don't call women losers enough. Mm-hmm. Moment So on our final segment of the pod, we have Grasshole of the Week.
Grasshole of the Week.
Which is where we nominate one person on the from the internet who needs to log off the most.
Yes. Mm.
Who needs to go touch grass.
Yeah, they need to interact with the real world around them.
Yes.
Very important. Post-haste.
Post-haste. Mm. And again, you know, Miss McLaureen Pinover was a great candidate, but she logged off.
Yeah, that's the thing.
She logged off now.
Yeah, testament to her. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The account's down.
So instead, our Grasshole of the Week this week is a woman named Natalie Barnett.
Okay.
And she is a UK-based fitness influencer who has 18,000 followers.
I was about to be like,
on TikTok.
That's sort of a McLaureen Pinover sort of situation.
Yeah, it's not a McLaureen Pinover. She has 418,000 followers on Instagram, 1.9 million followers on TikTok, and 241,000 subscribers on YouTube. She's a big fitness influencer, and she's been updating her fans for years about her plan to open her own gym, her own fitness center in London. And the venue is called The Girl Spot, and it's catering only women, right? So 4 years ago in 2021, Barnett posted on Twitter, on X, to confirm that trans women would be welcomed in her gym. She says, respectfully, if you have a problem with trans women attending my gym, then you can find another gym to train at. I have discussed this several times before. Trans women are women and also a minority that need to be protected. Please keep your transphobia away. So that was kind of the sentiment that she had in 2021. She did a GoFundMe for this gym and got almost 25,000 pounds. Which is
British people.
Which is confusing because it says gym, and I just want to let you know, I figured it out. And I'm telling you that, no, she's not living 21. She got 25,000 pounds, which is quite a lot.
Yeah, and I'd take it.
Yeah.
I'd take 25,000 pounds.
So the gym is very close to being open. She has the place. She's showing us all the stuff. And now that the gym is about to be open, she's like, oh, by the way, the gym is only for biological women,
not trans
women. It's a major U-turn for what she said initially. And oh boy, is the internet going off on her. So I was trying to find a video that like had her, because her original statement, she made like a couple minute long video about why she's deciding to do this and all this stuff. And she had to delete it. So what we're going to do is we're going to watch an ITV kind of summary of all this stuff that happened.
Well, this is a very British story.
Wow.
ITV presents.
Exactly.
What do you mean you're going to have the idea for a women's only gym base, but when it comes time to actually opening, you're going to backtrack and say it's for biologically born women only?
I'm not going to lie, Natalie. I want my money back.
This is who those women are talking about. Fitness influencer commonly known as Natalie B. Fitness. She said this back in 2021.
Of course, trans women are welcome at my women's only gym. I don't see trans women as trans women. I see trans women as women. So 100,000% trans women.
But fast forward to 2025, she released this statement.
It's very important to make it clear how my women's only gym will be operating. And it'll be operating as a single sex space for biological women.
Quite the U-turn, right? And now people are saying,
use transphobia. And it's disgusting.
Natalie has over 1 million followers on TikTok. Back in 2021, she announced her new business venture, a women's only gym, a place where all women can feel safe. And she gave her followers the option to donate to her crowdfund page to help with her startup costs. And now some people are calling out the influencer because they feel like they've been lied to.
You say yes, there's a trans-inclusive space. Then once you actually take the people them's money and open the business, you now tell them they can't enter.
And that first video wasn't the only time Natalie made it clear her gym would allow trans customers. She posted this a couple of years back.
So right now, in terms of my gym, obviously cis women are welcome and trans women are welcome.
And now she's backtracked on it. People are even claiming she could be breaking the law.
What I would like to know is, How is this going to work out for you legally?
And some are questioning how she plans to action this.
It doesn't make sense on so many fronts. By that logic, transplant it into your gym.
This is Natalie's reasoning for her change of heart.
Inside, we are focusing on self-defense classes, Muay Thai, boxing classes, as well as workshops and activations around PCOS and training on your menstrual cycle, all of which occur to biological women. Majority of the women who are seeking my women's only gym, the Girl Spot, are coming here because they have faced some level of gym intimidation or sexual violence and assault that has been perpetrated by men. So as the owner of the gym, it is very important to make it clear how my women's only gym will be operating, and it will be operating as a single-sex space for biological women.
Natalie didn't respond to our request for comment, but she put this statement on Instagram in response to the backlash. In it, she said she sympathises with trans women and that their decision was not easy, and added she has spent time and money seeking legal advice.
Wow. So, yeah.
I mean, just obviously, you can't take people's money and then pull the rug out from under them on what the gym
it's
is.
It's pretty cut and dry. It's like, I am going to do one thing. I'm not doing that thing anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, I imagine if I was a trans woman who might go to this gym and I saw that, I'd be like, oh, it would be awesome to have a gym that was like an inclusive gym to go to. Like, she probably got money from trans women who wanted to see the place funded because they wanted to use the gym.
I also just feel like women, for the most part, who are trying to work out in a safe environment or like feel like so strongly as they want to work in this safe environment, are not going to be like scared of a trans. I just think like,
yeah, it's not trans women that are causing that
thing. It's just
feeling
fucked up. So if we go like there's just some responses that people had on Twitter. You know, again, first person to apologize for her old tweets not being bigoted enough. You know, I thought that was really funny. And then there's a bunch of other responses again. And people are like asking for refunds, which Barnett has announced that she is refunding people who no longer support the Girl Spot direction. She made a statement about like, I understand that trans women are hurt, but like, yeah, whatever, like all this bullshit.
Yeah,
I mean,
but,
who cares?
But I don't care.
But
yeah.
I changed my mind.
Yeah. I decided to be worse.
I decided to be worse. They made a whole thing about like her getting death threats. In response to this, our girly, perpetual Hall of Fame grasshole, woman who needs to log off.
I knew this was going to happen.
Ms. J.K. Rowling popped in the chat. She said, let us in your gym or we'll kill you. Say men who pose no risk to women whatsoever. And it's just like, I think
she said you could come. She said that at the beginning.
She said that you could at the beginning. It's just at this point, it's like, she has this huge platform. I'm just trying to break down, like, how many people would actually, in reality, like, how many trans women in reality would this affect, like, her saying no? It's just, like, being cruel to... It just reminds me of the trans legislation where it's, like, Alabama made it illegal for trans kids to be in sports. And it's just, like, that might be 5 kids at most, like, numbers-wise.
Yeah.
And you're just doing it to be a fucking asshole. Not because you know, like, just...
To truly a couple people. Not that it, like, even matters the numbers, but it is one of those things where it's, like, number one, why did you go so whole hog saying, like, making it so specific that this was going to be an inclusive gym and then pull the rug out from under it and not think that there's going to be a bunch of people asking for their money back, potentially suing you? I mean, I guess she's talked to lawyers or whatever. It's just interesting to me to be like, I wonder why she would make this sudden calculation. And is it because everyone's getting more conservative?
Yeah,
it's like the conservative backlash. And like, I guess this is also like weird and problematic because, you know, there's the racial element where it's like a lot of the markers, if we want to go to the biological women thing, it gets very testy because a lot of the markers, which is like testosterone amounts and all that stuff, that differs from different races. And like, that was an issue in our most recent Olympics, is that somebody with a high testosterone count is technically biologically a woman, but they just have higher, because it's like they're basing the testosterone on like white women. So it was also like another layer of difficulty and complication with that because Natalie B. Fitness is a black woman. Kyle, what do you think about Kyle Gordon?
We brought you on here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because this is not settled until Kyle weighs in.
Listen, white millennial man.
Well, it's interesting to me that in her explanation for why she said she did this, she was like, we're doing self-defense classes. And I'm like, trans women could really use self-defense classes. Like, they get attacked a lot. Yeah. And okay, we're doing stuff around PCOS and menstruation. I'm like, I've never encountered a trans woman who would be like upset that a women's only space included some of those things. So like, what are you talking about? A trans woman would just not sign up for that. Mm. Or maybe she would because she wants to hear. I don't know. But it's not like because you're holding a menstruation workshop that a trans woman couldn't also be like lifting weights nearby. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. So this just happened. Is there like a... Well, I guess the J.K. Rowling is doing the backlash to the backlash.
Yeah, now. Exactly. Yeah. This all happened within this past week. So this was the backlash. And then the backlash of the backlash is when she's like, no, guys, like, this was really hard for me. It's because I've been assaulted in a gym. And it's like, that still doesn't answer what the fuck is going on.
Also, like, a trans woman didn't do
that. Like, it's like, if a trans woman did, I could kind of see your rationale. But it's not even what happened. It's like, you're doing this. And again, it is this thing of like, culture has been lucrative for a conservative push for the past few years that maybe, especially in London, like, I feel like in America, there's a lot of the anti-trans movement in America has been a lot of focused on like the kids, all that bullshit. Yeah. But in London, it's all about like,
it's all about protecting women.
Women and women's spaces bullshit. So
say, as a reluctant scholar of J.K. Rowling's whole thing that she's doing now, that is her party line, is that she's like, I just want to protect women. And it's honestly wild. Last time I was home, my mom vaguely referenced the J.K. Rowling stuff. She was like, oh, because I used to be a big Harry Potter person. That's my millennial curse, is that I was deep into the fandom. My mom's like, isn't J.K. Rowling crazy now or something? And I was like, Mom, it goes so far beyond what you could ever imagine. If you go to her Twitter, every tweet is about stuff like this. Yeah. Like, this is, it's not, you'll maybe get one that's like, and by the way, Harry Potter show is coming, but 99.9% of it is just this stuff.
Does she even write anymore? This is all she does now?
I think this is actually all she does. She's released some weird books under her pen name Robert Galbraith, because yes, she uses a male pen name, which is a whole other
complicated
and then
thing.
she writes kind of like she writes weird mysteries. I remember I bought one of them, which was like before she became it was called The Casual Vacancy, and I remember it felt very like she was trying to say fuck and cunt so much to like get away from being Harry Potter. It was like too much.
A Disney star does porn.
It was honestly very millennial burger restaurant where it's just like, these are fucking good burgers. I'm like, what is going
on? Or
is
that
like,
one Mumford and Sons song where it's like, he says like fuck like one time, but he wants you to know he's saying fuck.
Yeah.
Well, we're not white men, so we don't know the Mumford.
Fair. No, yeah, yeah. Yeah, me neither. So weird. And I don't know anything about it. Actually, I think I made that up probably. Yeah.
Yeah. You know that Mumford and Sons. Kyle, we don't know the Mumford and Sons song.
Taylor Swift will do the same thing. Like, she'll really wind up for a fuck. Like, you can tell.
See,
that
and
she's
I don't know
really
that either.
Olivia Rodrigo, I think, is the queen of like very strategically placed curse words. And I like Olivia Rodrigo. Yes. Don't get me wrong, but like, Those curse words are like, they're like, here it comes, now I just said it.
This is where you're going to sit. I will say, I think the most expertly deployed fuck recently in pop is Sabrina Carpenter, Don't Embarrass Me, Motherfucker, when she goes deep
That's
Motherfucker. I was like, that's a good one. That's a good one. I didn't expect you to say it, and you did. You got me.
So to come full circle, do you feel like curse words are the truffle oil of in millennial language?
Wow, yeah.
I honestly
do. Because I curse a lot.
Me too. It's like a tick. Like, fucking this, fucking that, yeah.
Yeah, but it's also, I feel, I know I say like a lot because I edit this podcast and you know, whatever. And, you know, it is like a pauser, but I also use curse words a lot. And I'm just like, is curse words the trefoil where millennials have, you know, used it a lot in a way? I don't know. But there's some people who curse really good and some people who don't. And it's unforced or whatever, just like trefoil dishes.
I think the forced curse word in like a professional setting, like from a brand, is a very millennial thing. Yeah. Like a brand that swears, I think that's on us.
Yeah, he did like that. This is also, I feel like, a super millennial thing of like, this is another thing that definitely gets targeted at me. Is a Mumford & Sons moment. Yeah, the male edgy razor ad. Shave your fucking balls, dude.
I wonder that too. Like, it's interesting with like the women only gym, whatever, even though these always have existed. I'm just like, there is this thing of like, as I feel like society, even though whatever conservative politics that are happening, as society, we are kind of moving towards a place where like gender is becoming less of a thing, or like, you know, people are dressing different, like whatever, and expressing themselves differently. But there is such a marketing push of like, wash your balls and like women only and food. Like, it's just like, oh.
I feel like marketing and executives and like people who are in charge of businesses are often like 5 to 10 years culturally behind It's like, this is the thing that I've been seeing, is a lot of people are talking about the new Snow White with Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot that's like much maligned for put a pin in fucking that discourse, but there's it was originally promoted as this, like, she's not going to be saved by the prince. And people didn't like that. And one person that I was watching making videos about it was like, yeah, that's because Disney executives are still in the feminism of like 10 years ago, where it's just like, have you ever thought that maybe Belle actually had Stockholm syndrome? Have you ever thought that some of these fairy tales are like, there's problematic dynamics in these fairy tales from the 30s? It's very like, we've kind of moved beyond that conversation, but Disney's still having it. And then
every movie is like a cracked article from 2012.
Yes, exactly. I'm also like,
it's probably come back around because I would love to go to sleep and wake up and be like with the love of my life, you know, poison apple, and then wake up and this fine ass guy like, sign me up. I gotta get a beer with this guy who's not even gonna pay for
That's the thing, is that people now are like, actually, it's nice to be saved by the prince sometimes.
I'm like, I would love a guy who did a chore. Let's go. God damn it.
Yeah.
You wake up to a guy who's like, hey babe, all that stuff you were worried about, I took care of it.
Oh my god. Instant orgasm.
And you're just like, oh, okay.
Well, I want every single person in my life, both my partner, everyone I meet, I want them to treat me that way.
Yeah. Hey, sweetheart.
Deal with all my bullshit.
Yeah, 7 male roommates that clean.
Yeah.
And have jobs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
I'm always like at the first beginning of like a cult documentary, I'm like, this sounds awesome. And then they all start killing each other. And even the orgy part, I'm like, all right. I mean, we'll figure it out. Let's go.
Yeah. The thing that I know will always keep me from joining a true cult is that I need my own bedroom. I can't be sleeping in these bunk beds in a big pile with the guy in the middle. I'm like, I need my own room.
Yeah.
And eventually, the far enough you get into a cult I've seen in these documentaries, eventually I'm going to have to move into a crazy house, and I can't be doing that.
True.
I can't
I wonder
be doing
how,
that.
Yeah. Can it be comfortable? Like, do you get?
We'll figure it out. But anyway, that is our grass hole for the crime of saying something's going to be trans inclusive, then purposefully making it trans exclusive, and being a fucking loser. We're going to say, Natalie Barnett, don't touch grass.
And that's the end of our episode.
That's our episode.
Kyle, tell us where everyone can find you, follow you, go up, find your music, find you on tour, all the good stuff. Tell him now.
Thank you. Yeah, Kyle Gordon is great on everything. And album comes out April 4th.
tour starts end of this month, March 27th. So I'll be going everywhere and Canada.
In Canada. First date. Just kidding.
Well, just I'm the front line of the invasion. So
yeah. Kyle is coming and he is armed.
Yeah. Armed and demented. Yeah.
With music.
Yeah.
Power of song. He'll feel the relationship with the power of song.
Yes. And you can fuel our relationship. Mm-hmm. Our parasocial relationship with you by following at Go Touch Grass Pod on all platforms.
All platforms.
You can follow me at Millie_Tamaris on Instagram and on TikTok and at Millie Tamaris on Twitter and fucking Lemonade, Blue Sky, all this shit, whatever. I'm on there.
All of them. You can find me at Pandalise on Instagram, at Elise Navidad on TikTok. And until next time,
Go Touch Grass!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hello and welcome. Or hi, my name is Cole.
My name is Andrew. We host a podcast called Podcast But Outside, where Cole and I set up a table on the sidewalk and talk to strangers who are walking by.
We have a sign on our table that says, hi, be a guest on our podcast, and we will pay you $1.
We are the only ethical podcast. We're the only podcast that pays. We have really interesting conversations with really fun folks.
Like who?
Like Marilyn.
Okay.
And I was somebody else's wife for a while.
But the second one worked out.
Well, until he died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It turned out he had a double life.
Wow. What was the second life?
He was a crack addict.
Wait, how do you hide that? Hold on. How do you hide?
He was a nice old Jewish guy.
How did he get addicted to crack?
He started smoking it.
I know, but I'm just trying to... I know... That was a good clip.
Hey, thank you.
And sometimes we even have celebrity friends of ours helping us to interview these random people off the street.
Like who?
Like John Hamm, Adam Scott, Nick Kroll, and Atsuko Okatsuka.
So please subscribe to Podcast But Outside on YouTube and podcast apps.
And then have a good...
time.